Greetings, good listeners. In this multiverse history lesson, I want to make connections between a few important things that have shown up thus far in our Ancestors Writers Room opening act. In episode 2 of our podcast drama, a character from the Ancestors Writers Room named Lyra tells us a story about the galactic roots of genocide. What we learn in this story is that way back in multiverse history, before planet Earth was even born, the spirit of genocide emerged in the galaxies. And the first thing it did was cut off our ability to communicate with our loved ones across time, space, and dimension. If we know that before genocide did anything else, that's what it made sure to take care of. What does that tell you about life here on the planet today? It tells us something about how much of a miracle it is that our abilities in ancestral communication and divination not only still exist, they are thriving and pouring out of the collective. That's a miracle. And it also tells us something about how much of a threat we are to a capitalist, colonial, genocidal paradigm. How important it is to keep investing in ourselves, in each other, in our talents, and our gifts. If these are the galactic roots of genocide, this is absolutely linked to the fact that it was literally illegal for indigenous people to gather in ceremony, to honor and be in communion with their ancestors, up until the 1970s on Turtle Island. These galactic roots to genocide are also linked to the history of criminalization of mediums, psychics. It's linked to the ways that many of us have experienced microaggressions or legitimate modern-day witch hunting, been attacked in queer activist community, or by our families, partners, social circle, teachers, elders, as our spiritual gifts started rising. In the podcast drama episode 1, titled The Crazy Planet, we find out that Earth has elders that she's supposed to listen to. But in the story, her elders, named Alexis and David,
ew, David,
they don't understand why the Earth is making the decisions that she makes. And they put all these different names on the Earth. They call her crazy. They call her irrational, reckless, saying that she's nonsense, she doesn't know what she's doing. And the Earth all this time had to work really hard on trusting herself, trusting a vision of freedom that she has for her whole body, trusting her survivor knowledge, not just what she wants, but how she wants to do it. The Earth knows how important her principles are and what she believes in, even if it's deeply misunderstood, even if it's unprecedented in the universe, she knows what is hers to protect. This is a very common life experience for those of us who are living a revolutionary ancestral artist life path, especially during the last 15 years of Pluto in Capricorn, when many of our gifts really came online. We were misunderstood. We may have been pathologized, controlled. People tried to intervene when they shouldn't have, or we were attacked or manipulated by the ones closest to us. Whatever our story is, bottom line, we had to work really hard on trusting ourselves. Trusting our visions, our decisions, our beliefs, and our principles that we knew we had to protect, and protect we did with our lives. This protection is more important now than ever, because in 2024, we are really going to be bringing what we've been protecting into fruition and into full-bodied advocacy out in the world where it will be seen. Not only that, we will be receiving the benefits and the rewards of this justice that we've been protecting. What is owed to us, what has been taken from us wrongly, is coming back and it's returning to us. What we've sacrificed is being recognized communally, publicly, We are being thanked by our ancestral grandmothers and grandfathers, by the universe itself, for Grandmother Multiverse herself, for fighting what we believe in. She is thanking us. Thank you. I see you and what you've been carrying and what you did for me. I see all that you've lost in the process. Receive your flowers. It's time for justice and balance to be restored, first in your life and then everywhere else. I speak about this in my latest poem/prismanifesto that I title The Earth Has Bills to Pay. The time is over for us to merely spend our lives just fighting for our principles, defending our principles. Now we get to be protected by communities and relationships that really get it. So we have the support to fully advocate for our principles, so our advocacy can do the full scope of its job. And we have barely even begun to let ourselves imagine all the amazing life-changing things our magic could do because we've been just so busy fighting and defending. We haven't even had time to imagine what we could do in the world and how much healing and liberation we could create if we could allow our advocacy to fully do its job, express itself freely, be so much bigger and giant in the world and protected by community. Our advocacy couldn't do that full scope of its job. It couldn't fully be itself, and neither could we. In an earlier paradigm where we just had to explain ourselves all the live long day, convince people all the live long day. That's the shift we're making from Pluto in Capricorn to Pluto in Aquarius, i.e. 2024. We're rooting down into that soil. Our feet are getting healed. Our feet are getting healed by the soil. In episode 2, we saw how everyone across the galaxies put these names on Lyra for trusting her vision because they didn't understand what she did for the whole universe. But in that story, we find out that there were, in the end, two loved ones who did understand Lyra. They saw exactly what she did for them and for everyone, and they would spend the rest of their lifetimes reciprocating in gratitude for her sacrifice. At the end of the episode, we see that this story was indeed about friendship all along. All along, this was a story about a queer witch and her two black cats. The names of those two cats are Esta and Rahel. Here, I want to share two principles that we work with in the Ancestors Writer's Room that differ from a regular writer's room. One, we regard fictional characters as ancestors themselves. And two, we understand our animal companions as heartfelt, powerful contributors to the creative process when we mutually decide to work together. We study the specific technology of how our animal companions offer us soul lessons, how they mirror our wounds through their behavior and emotions, how they provide energy healing to our revolutionary creative projects, how they work on our front lines wherever we are working on the front lines of something, how they act as death doulas to help us transmute and move through big transitions. Esta and Rahel are characters from a book titled The God of Small Things by writer Arundhati Roy. Esta and Rahel are also my two black cats who are now ancestors. Rahel transitioned on January 23rd, 2022, and Esta transitioned on January 31st, 2023. So, after 15 years of a beautiful life together, this is the first January that I'm without them in their bodies. I am in observation and ceremony for this 1 year, 2 year anniversary for this funibirthural. Even as they are in spirit, Esta and Rahel continue to work with me and collaborate with me as ancestors. In fact, Esta and Rahel are primary collaborators for these big ceremonial musical theater productions I'm creating, including my play titled Pluto, which stars Pluto and Jupiter as otherworldly giants and ordinary humans, time travelers, and shapeshifters. You can find out more about that on my website. I keep repeating this theme in my stories, that the Ancestors Writers' Room is about how we connect the big movements with the small things, and how that ceremonial daily life is holy, and that it has a massive positive impact on the world. I want you to understand how personal that is to me and why I use that language, the big movements and the small things. The God of small things. Unlocking this multiverse history lesson with Lyra helped me remember the truth of how old and galactic my love is with Esta and Rahel, these two small kitties. How deep our history goes. I think that for anyone listening to this, you can look at some of the deepest friendships in your life with humans or non-humans, and you'll see a history that is just as old, just as giant. I have the same length of history and love and lifetime shared with two of my human best friends, Cian and Raven, and their dog too, Xiao Hu. When we work with characters as ancestors, we acknowledge that stories, like ancestors, have things that they couldn't heal in their lifetime or their body. When you look at The God of Small Things as a text, in my opinion, it is one of the most beautiful books that I have ever read, and thus why I wanted to name my cats after the main characters. But there are also things in that book that the story couldn't heal in its lifetime, in the pages between the front and the back cover. Both in terms of inside the story and in a meta way. There are elements of caste violence that are embedded and problematic in the writing because the writer didn't know how to fully heal those things through her writing. And while it is an incredibly beautiful book, it is intentionally a tragedy. It's tragic what happens to these characters. In that poem I wrote, The Earth Has Bills to Pay, I say this. The Earth has lived and died so many other lives in books that ended with tragedy. Even if those books managed to find beauty in tragedy, they didn't just manage it, they landed the ending of a tragedy that made you weep for joy, made you sing for life, made you want to choose love again and again. The earth has learned so much from every single heartbreak that when the last page closed in each of these stories, she was at peace with herself. I had a good life and a good death. What more could I ask for? But on the shelf, that book would still be categorized as a tragedy sitting next to all the other tragedies. She wants more for herself this time. She wants a different name. Every word I wrote about that in the poem is about the God of Small Things, the book. That book is a tragedy that made me weep for joy, sing for life. It made me want to choose love again and again. That book is a tragedy, but on the last page, it is at peace with itself. When Esta and Rahel came into my life as babies in 2008, as small, small kitties, they were already ancestors. Because they had already lived and died in a tragedy in a book, and now they were alive, ready for a different name, a different ending, a whole different story. And they got it. We did it. But we still want more. We want an end to some of my repeating tragedies that I haven't yet reconciled. We want a happy ending for the world and everyone in it. We want the Earth story as a whole to be removed from that place on the bookshelf reserved for tragedies. When I was caring for Esta and Rahel in the last few years, as their death doula, I was constantly anxious about when that moment would come, constantly beating myself up about making mistakes and worried that I would make a decision that was horribly wrong and result in horrible consequences and that they would die because of me. They kept telling me, "Don't worry, Mom. We will leave at the exact right time. Not a moment too soon and not a moment too late." Esta and Rahel taught me that, yeah, some things our ancestors cannot do in one lifetime. They weren't meant to. They were supposed to take it as far as they could and then pass it on. That is our job, as revolutionary ancestral artists and as ordinary humans. Our job is to know what work is ours to do and do it. And take it as far as we are meant to, and then pass it on. This is something I practice every day, in small ways, even in my writing practice, or my ceremonial entrepreneurship. Do I know when I've done enough for the day? When I've taken it as far as it will go for the day? This is what I practice in my relationships, and that's the hardest thing. Do you know when it's enough? What you're supposed to do for other people, or for the movement, or for your lineage, for the justice mission? Where's that line between what is your responsibility and what isn't? When and how do you know when to say, "That's good, I'm good, that's enough"? Ultimately, that's what we're doing with our whole lives. How far am I supposed to take this in my lifetime? When is that moment I need to let go and pass it on? I was in the room when my grandmother transitioned in 2013. I wasn't in the room when my dad left, but I felt it anyway. I was in the multiverse room, that's for sure. I was in the room with Esta and Rahel, and I saw all four of them learn that lesson. I saw them embrace that lesson with grace and courage. That they got it. They figured it out. When is that moment? How far am I supposed to take this? When do I let go? Who do I pass it on to? They were at peace with themselves because they saw me there with my hands stretched open. Give it to me. Whatever you have, pass it on to me. I'll take it from here. If you want to go on a nerdy extra credit journey, I recommend listening to my two podcast episodes. One is called The Time Loop, and one is called Time is a Heartbeat. I speak about what I learned from my dad when he transitioned and what he passed on to me. And I speak more about this concept of how do you hold that balance, knowing exactly when to move or when to make your move, not a moment too soon, not a moment too late. Because that inner certainty is exactly what will be required of us in our freedom movements, personally and collectively, as the years go on. If you've been following my work, you know that I've been offering a grounding meditation that involves connecting our root chakra into a special place in the Earth's core, unique to you, that holds the essence of your true name, whatever that means to you. And then connecting the top of your head all the way up to your North Star, unique to you, that also holds the essence of your true name. When you join the 2-month Ancestor Apprenticeship with the Ancestors Writers Room I'm hosting in February and March 2024, One of our storytelling magic offerings is an extended audio recording of this meditation that you can listen to connect to your true essence, your true name. So you can listen to this in the morning to ensure that you stay on path all day. You can listen to it if you're feeling ungrounded and unclear, or you can listen to it before you enter any kind of creative portal to help you open up to your true creative voice and your true ancestral creative expression. So I want to tell you a story about what happened to me the other day when I did this meditation for myself. So I was just sitting at my altar, speaking my meditations out loud, and I said, "Okay, Shanga, imagine there's a string from the top of your head all the way up to your North Star. You know, like string theory." I just like felt spontaneously like saying that, like nudge, nudge. I'm just being cute here at my altar because I'm a multiverse nerd and I love geeking out about quantum concepts. But then I was like, hold on, wait, what is string theory again? I felt moved to take out this tarot deck that I have called the Quantum Tarot. My friend Annabelle gave it to me because I knew that in that deck there was a tarot card that represents string theory, and I didn't remember what the card was. So I thought, let me look this up. So I got out the tarot book. I looked up the card associated with string theory. Guess what that card is? The Star. I'm like, you can't make this shit up! You can't make this up! Okay, so I'm at my altar. I'm like already freaking out. Just like, okay. And then, so I read the description of what string theory is as described in this tarot deck. Okay, now listen to some of the description. Quantum theory and general relativity. Two landmark discoveries of 20th century physics have revolutionized the way we understand the world. But there's one problem. They don't work together. Quantum theory is excellent at explaining the microscopic world of the atom, whereas general relativity is good at describing the universe on a grand scale. For years, physicists have struggled to combine these two ideas into one grand unified theory that describes the universe. At last, string theory offers real possibility of unification. Excuse me while I drop all the mics and die all the deaths. Like, what? Like, this is literally describing the miscommunication between the big movements and the small things and the revolutionary force that can help us actually understand the universe and the world and our lives in a unified way. There's one thing that can bridge that communication gap, and it's the Star. Artists, the one in the spotlight, the one with the mic, the one on stage, the one with the pen, the one with the paintbrush, the rock star with the guitar, whatever it is, you're the Star. Not just any star, but the star that is meant to heal the ways our communication has been cut off from our ancestors, our spiritual gifts, our magic. These two areas of life, they're saying, they're not supposed to work together. This is speaking to a larger fracture between justice and spirituality, between science and magic, activists and healers, water and fire, the waterfall and the volcano. We are not meant to fall into the gap between those places, finding ourselves forever fighting to get out of a hole in the ground. We are meant to rise out of that hole. We are meant to wholly integrate these supposed opposites and move from that place. This is why we are such a threat to genocide. When you join the apprenticeship, the Ancestors Writers Room, we will dive deeper into multiverse and quantum concepts. We will get as nerdy as we are capable of being, and that is saying a lot. We will get more into these soul lessons from our animal companions. We will get into so many things, characters as ancestors. I just have a wealth of knowledge pouring out of me, and I really need to share it with folks who want to receive it. This thing about two opposing forces is a collective message, but it's also personal to you as well. Where in your life have you made peace thinking that it would just be okay if you never got to have that in your lifetime? Is it, well, I'm going to choose myself. I'm going to choose to be true to myself. I'm going to choose my beliefs. I'm going to choose my ceremony of life, but that means I'll never have the relationship I want or the money I need to sustain myself or community that I can thrive in. Up until now, we've had to choose, and we've stayed true to our heart and to the ancestral vision and to the art that we needed to express through our lives and what we knew we had to protect. We stayed true to it. We stayed true to our heart. Even if that meant we lost teachers, elders, friends, partners, family, community, jobs, we stayed true. We made peace with that tragedy. We said that's okay. It would be all right if we never got to have that kind of love because at least we have ourselves and that's enough. But the earth today and string theory is saying, no, baby, you're a star. You're a star. You get more than that now. You get to have a different book now. Start a new chapter, babe. It's these ancestral visions, protocols, technologies that you have protected and you have been ever so faithful. Here's your flowers right now showing up at your door. Come on. Just open it. Receive the healing that you give out into the world. Experience it come back to you. And then give it back to Mama Earth, to the world where all things shall return eventually. The next chapter is for us. It's for you, for your stories will heal the world too.